This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
When we moved to Atlanta years ago, we weren't there a month until people started handing us books by a local Atlanta author and said, you need to read this guy. His name was Louis Grizzard. Now, Louis is now dead. But Louis was a writer for the Atlanta Constitution newspaper. He wrote books with unusual titles. My favorite title is Elvis is Dead and I Don't Feel So Good Either. Elvis is Dead and I Don't Feel So Good Either. He said he was at Point Clear, Alabama, which is just north and west of Gulf Shores, Alabama. Some of you know where Gulf Shores is. He was speaking to a group of South Central Bell executives. And at dinner, some of us were swapping stories about the Bear, Bear Bryant, Alabama's late great football coach. A gentleman who handled the advertising account for South Central Bell at the time was recalling when Bryant was hired to do commercials for his South Central Bell account. What the Bear was supposed to say at the end of the commercial was just this sentence, call your mama, call your mama, as only he could say it. But when they were shooting the commercial, he just ad-libbed a line that nobody asked him to say. Nobody told him to say this. At the end of one of the shots, he just said this, call your mama. I sure wish I could call mine. Call your mama. I sure wish I could call mine. The executive said we would have never asked him to do something like that, but it worked out perfectly. Another one of the Bell executives carried the story further. Soon after the commercial began running, my secretary said came in and said there was a customer on the line that said they had to talk to me right now. When I got to the phone, she said, are you the person responsible for the Bear Bryant commercial on television? He said, I sort of wanted to ask her how she liked it before I took responsibility for it. But he said, is there a problem? And she said, no, there's no problem. I just want to tell you a story. My husband and I were watching television the other night. We saw that commercial for the first time. We were so moved when Coach Bryant said, call your mama. I sure wish I could call mine, that I called my mother. Hadn't called her in a while, and I called her. And then I said to my husband, why don't you call your mother? And he said he would, he did, and they talked for 45 minutes. And the woman said this, my husband doesn't talk to anybody for 45 minutes on the phone, let alone his own mother. They talked about old times, how much he loved her and appreciated her. And the executive said, hey, thank you for sharing that story. What a touching story. And she said, I'm not done yet. There's more to the story. Less than 1 hour after my husband hung up from talking to his mother, she died. He never would have had that conversation with his mother if it hadn't been for Coach Bryant's commercial. Don't forget to call your mama. I sure wish I could call mine. I want to talk to you today about something far greater than forgetting to call your mother. Forgetting to call somebody you love, forgetting an appointment, forgetting some relationship in your life, as strange as it may sound to say that. I want to talk to you today what Jeremiah, the prophet of God, talked to God's people about. How that they were forgetting to remember God days without number. They were straying from the Lord, they were forsaking the Lord, and they were forgetting the Lord. And yet here's the thing, they were God's people. He had rescued them out of Egypt. He had done miraculous things for them in the desert, and yet they forgot. They forgot what the Lord had done.
If I were to ask you the question, what's the greatest sin you could commit against God? It would be interesting to hear the responses of people like you and me. May I suggest to you the greatest sin just may be this, forgetting what God has done in your life. That's it. Just forgetting what God has done. That's the essence of this message this week from Jeremiah 2. God bless you as you listen tomorrow.
After you're gone, I think one of the saddest things that could be said about any man or any woman, a year later, 5 years later, 10 years later, somebody would talk and reflect on your life, and here's what they would say. You know, he just seemed to forget the Lord at the end of his life. She just seemed to stray away from the Lord. She forgot the Lord. I can't think of any sadder epitaph than for people to say about you or me that we forgot the Lord, forgot what he had done. The Lord never called you to be faithful for 5 years and then check out. He never called any man or woman in this room to be faithful for a generation, for 20 years, and then to say, I'm done. He never even challenged you to become a believer and a follower of the Lord for 30 and 40 years, but say, I'm done. I'm done. He called us to be faithful unto death. Be faithful unto death. What I'd like to do is just a little verse by verse and let it speak to you today. Let's bring up verse 5 again. This is what the Lord says. This is important. Jeremiah did not speak from his own authority. He spoke from what I call delegated authority. He didn't have intrinsic authority any more than I do. I don't consider myself to have authority to get up and speak, like there's something inherent in me that I have the authority to speak, but I do believe in delegated authority. And so Jeremiah tells people, this is what the Lord says, not me, not Jeremiah, but the Lord says, what fault did your fathers find in me that they strayed so far from me? They followed worthless idols and became worthless themselves. Have you ever found fault with the Lord? Sure you have, and so have I. You ever been angry at the Lord? Sure you have, and so have I. Why did you let this happen? Why didn't you make this happen? Why did this situation have to develop and transpire this way? I honestly remember, I'm not being facetious when I tell you this, but I actually had a man years ago, I'm talking a lot of years ago, came back from serving in the military in Asia. He said, Randy, there's a girl that wrote me and she's pregnant back in Japan or wherever. And here's what he said to me. He looked me straight in the eye and said, why would God let that happen? I didn't want to tell you what I thought about saying. I wanted to say, you were the one that brought this about. You initiated this relationship. And yet he wanted to know, and he was serious. Why did God let this happen? We've all done that in different scenarios, in different situations where we blame God for something we've set in motion and we have found fault with him. And here's what I tell people. If you've ever raised a 2-year-old, 3-year-old, a 4-year-old, a 6-year-old, a 10-year-old, who's questioned your ability to be a parent, questioned your wisdom, your intelligence level, what happened after it was over? You survived. You're still here. And life went on. And so it is. We question God's judgment. We're like Job, who was questioning the Lord. And you remember what the Lord said to Job? Where were you at creation? Seems to me I don't remember you were here when I created the world and put the world and the planets into orbit and everything was in perfect gravitational balance in the universe. And I don't remember you being there, Job, when I put all of that together. And we all do that. We find fault with the Lord, and that's what God's people had done, and they strayed from him. That's an interesting word, to stray. You ever gotten lost on a trail because you strayed from a trail? You ever got lost on a trip because, you know, I think I'm going to take this side route, this 2-lane highway over here, and you get lost. And before long, you have no idea where you are. And people do that spiritually. Well, we'll pick it up tomorrow exactly where we leave off today. Tune in tomorrow for Cross Hope. God bless you. Well, today, part 3 of a message we began on Monday about God's people forgetting the Lord. Something that you and I have done, if we're honest. Let's continue with part 3 today from Jeremiah 2. Then look at verse 11. Has a nation ever changed its gods? It's not a question of not having a God. It's a question of changing gods. And as a nation, we follow the idols of this day and age. We follow the gods of this age. And he says, my people have exchanged their glory for worthless idols. And then this is something, jump to verse 13. I think we better go to 13. My people have committed 2 sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. But that's what God says. His people preferred a cistern of stale water that's leaking. A leaky cistern. They preferred that than to the living water that God provides. And the thought occurred to me, people make choices like that all the time where we reject the Lord and we pick the temporary. We reject the Lord and we choose something that poisons our spirit and poisons our mind. We reject the Lord and choose a relationship that we know is destructive, and men and women and young people do it every day of their lives. We choose the temporary over the eternal. We choose the broken things of life rather than the permanent. My people have forsaken me. I just talked about this recently. The word forsake is not some big religious term. You know what it means in two words? Let go. The quickest way to ruin a marriage is for a husband to just let go of the relationship. The quickest way for a wife to ruin her marriage is just to let go. She doesn't have to commit adultery. She doesn't have to do anything drastic. All he or she has to do is just, you let go. You let go of the relationship, and that's how the Lord described his people. My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, which means to let go, the spring of living water, and they've dug their own cisterns. Then I want to go to verse 32, because I think this is interesting to me. Does a maiden forget her jewelry, a bride her wedding ornaments or her garments? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. I've told you this before, but I've had several weddings over the years where grooms have forgotten their tuxes for a wedding. I remember a wedding in Columbus, Ohio. The groom walked in like 30 minutes before the wedding and had a pair of cutoffs on, a t-shirt, I think with Budweiser written on the shirt, and a pair of loafers. And I said, why aren't you ready for the wedding? He said, I left the tux somewhere else. And I said, go get it. And he said, it's 20 miles away. I said, go get it. You're not getting married in a Budweiser shirt and a pair of cutoffs and a pair of loafers. Get the tuxedo. And yet, having gone through that with three or four grooms, I've never had a bride come to the office and say, I forgot my wedding dress. That has never, ever happened. And that's, even in the Old Testament times, Jeremiah says, does a bride ever forget her wedding dress? And the rhetorical answer to that question is, no. She remembers her wedding garments or her wedding dress. And yet here's the sadness. I can almost hear the sadness in the voice of God's Spirit saying this. Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. As if God were saying, I've lost track. My people have forgotten me days without number. I've said it earlier, one of the worst things you can say about a person is they simply forgot what the Lord had done. Well, we'll pick this up tomorrow on Cross Hope. You do know that our website is crosshope.org. That's crosshope.org. From time to time, I quote a psychiatrist by the name of Dr. Scott Peck, great writer who went from being an atheist and agnostic to a deist believing in some kind of God, and then going full circle to believe that Jesus Christ is who he claimed to be. And I've seen it in his books where you can see the transition in his writing where he came to the place before he died that Jesus is Lord. And it was very powerful to see him make that transition. When Scott Peck was 7 years old, he said he wanted to be a Boy Scout. And where he lived at the time, or maybe it was the rule everywhere, I don't know, that you had to be 12 to be a Boy Scout. Scott Peck said he couldn't become a Boy Scout, but he was at a garage sale. And lo and behold, what does he find for sale at the garage sale? An old copy of the Boy Scout handbook. And the official Boy Scout hatchet with the emblem of the Boy Scouts on the hatchet. And he said, I've got the hatchet. The official Boy Scout hatchet, and I've got the official handbook, and he called himself a scout, but he found out he wasn't a scout just because he had those two things. In fact, I'll just quote him directly. He said, just because I had the handbook and just because I had the official hatchet didn't mean that I really was a Boy Scout. How many people have a Bible on the coffee table and say, we're a Christian family, there's the Bible on the coffee table, never open it. We've got some names in there. We've got the baby's lock of hair there, but we never look at it. But we're a Christian family. We've got a cross up in one of the bedrooms, and we've got 1 Corinthians 13 in the family room on a wall plaque. And just having those accoutrements, those things, the attachments, don't make us a believer any more than anything else in the world. It's about relationship with the God who made you through his Son, Jesus Christ, a living, breathing relationship with the God who made you through Christ. Bud Greenspan was the author of a book called The 100 Greatest Moments in Olympic History. He said at the Olympics, the glory doesn't go only to those who win. The glory goes to people who do something special at the Olympics, something above the ordinary. He talks about a man from Italy by the name of Dorando Petri, who was in a state of collapse as he entered the stadium for the final yards of a marathon. He fell 5 times before an official helped him across the finish line. Of course, having help, he was disqualified. But his spirit made him an international celebrity because he was determined to finish the race. A similar display of courage enabled Derek Redmond of Great Britain to finish the 400-meter race years ago, hobbled by a torn hamstring near the halfway point. Get this. Redmond hopped the rest of the way across the line. He hopped on 1 foot the rest of the way across the finish line with the help of his father, who rushed from the stands to help him. Again, he was disqualified, obviously. But my favorite story of all is the one of John Stephen Akwari from Tanzania. His right leg was bloody and bandaged. He staggered into the stadium more than an hour behind the winner in a particular marathon at the Olympics. And here's what he said. My country didn't send me to the Olympics to start the race. My country sent me to the Olympics to finish the race. My country didn't send me to the Olympics to start. They sent me to finish. And here's my lesson. I think you know where I'm going with this. God didn't call any man or woman in this room, any young person, to be faithful until something better comes along. He didn't say, be faithful until you get tired of what you're doing and just kind of throw in the towel and say, what's the use? It doesn't make any difference. He called us, according to Revelation, either 2:10 or 3:10, to be faithful unto death.
Well, we'll conclude this message from Jeremiah 2 tomorrow about God's people forgetting to remember what the Lord had done. God bless you. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. Well, 4 years ago in 2013, Stuart Cook, our producer for Crosshope, and I attended the funeral of Ben Hayden in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Ben Hayden was my favorite preacher. I can honestly say that I listened to him every Sunday on the radio for at least 25 years or more. He died in 2013, and Stuart and I attended the funeral. And I'm going to share with you today one of my favorite stories that Ben told me personally about a ministry experience that illustrates perfectly this scripture in Jeremiah 2 about God's people forgetting what the Lord had done. It's about a man who promised to be faithful to the Lord but simply forgot what the Lord had done. God bless you as you listen to the conclusion of this message.
I remember a family years ago where grandmother in the family is real sick, and they took her to the specialist and the family doctor and then the specialist, and they went from one specialist to another and no one could help her. And one of the family members said, Grandma, I think we're going to have to pray. And Grandma's answer honestly was this: has it come to that? Has it really gotten so bad that we have to pray? And they said, yes, Grandma, we have to pray. You know, prayer was never meant to be the last resort, but your first response to any issue in life. That's true with you or me. It's our first response. And so many people look at the Lord as something we call upon as a last resort. I'm going to give you a powerful example of that. Ben Hayden was my favorite preacher. He got a call at 2 a.m. ministering in Chattanooga, Tennessee. The voice at the other end said, Ben, we know you don't know our dad that well. He doesn't come to church, but he's in bad shape at the hospital. And they've told him that if he doesn't have surgery, he's going to die. If he does have surgery, he may die anyway, but either way, he's in bad shape. Would you come to the hospital in Chattanooga and pray with him right now? Ben Hayden said he got dressed. He said he even ran a couple of stoplights to get there. He was in a hurry to make it there. He got there just as the man was being wheeled into surgery. The man was conscious, and Ben went up and grabbed his hand, and he said, do you want me to pray with you? He said, I do. And the man said, Ben, if I get out of here alive, I give you my word. I give you my word that I'll be in church every Sunday, every week. And Ben Hayden said he didn't know why, but for some reason he asked the man, I thought maybe a potentially offensive question. He said, do you really mean that? And here's what the man said. Do you think I would lie to you at a time like this? Do you really think I would lie to you at a time like this? Of course I'm telling the truth. I mean it. And I asked Ben Hayden, I said, did the man come to church? He said, twice. Twice. He did survive and came to church twice. What do you call that? I call that calling upon the Lord in a crisis, which we should do. Calling upon the Lord in emergency, we should do it. I've done it, you've done it. But then I call it forgetting the Lord. I call it straying from the Lord. I call it forsaking the Lord. All the words that the prophet Jeremiah used to describe God's people, they forgot the Lord. And that's what that man did, in my opinion. Not judging him. I'm not his judge. God is. But do you think I would lie at a time like this? What's the message today? Talking about forgetting the Lord. Forgetting, straying, and forsaking the Lord. Don't ever let it be said of you, those words describe your relationship with the Lord. Decide today. You're going to be a man. You're going to be a woman who said, I'm going to be faithful. For a few years? No. Unto death. For a generation, 20 years? No, unto death. For 30 or 40 years, maybe? No, unto death. We're called to be faithful. God called his people, but my people have forgotten me days without number. Don't let that be said of you. Let's pray together.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.